Today on Real Radio.
In Africa, there's a work going on today, and you're supporting it. Maybe most of us have never been to China, but you are supporting works in China. Are you with me? Maybe you've never been to Mexico, but you're supporting works in Mexico. What's the point? Our giving has become an act of fellowship.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're in a multi-part series that focuses on the opening verses of chapter 8. Now here the Apostle Paul mentions an example of generosity that had occurred among believers at the time, and we're talking about economic charity. For what it's worth, both the Old and New Testaments are full of passages that speak of the topic of money, and of course the godly worldview of its function in society, and in this case among believers. It can be quite a sensitive yet also important topic to address. That's why our teacher, Pastor Jack, cites so many of the passages throughout Scripture that touch upon it. It's a lesson called Giving What's Been Given. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
When he says, Jesus, there's 5 loaves of bread and a couple of fish here, and he almost made the step of faith. That's a great offering, right? That's a great start. You might think that today. Well, you know what? God, I'd like to give this to your work or to your labor or to your name, but what is that among so many? You hear the defeat. Oh, what is that among so many? God is speaking to us that whatever you and I offer up in church, do you remember the last time we were together? Please don't forget this. It's not only about your money. It's not only about your efforts or your resources. It's about everything that you and I are, who we are, that we are to be giving to God. Don't think money. Think beyond the totality of who you are. For many of us, it's easier to put money in the offering without a sacrifice than it is to give God 1 hour of time. We might put $100 in the offering because honestly, let's be honest, that's cheap. But we do, listen, our time is worth more than $100 an hour. We live in a very terribly busy culture. It's wrong. It's wrong, the culture you and I live in. We're so busy about stuff that ultimately in the end is not going to matter. In fact, if you ever want to test this statement of mine, meet someone who's battling for their lives and they'll tell you what's precious. And so, what are these? The question is among so many. And you know the story. What did Jesus do? God manifested a lot more loaves and a lot more fish. That's what God does. Now watch this before we go to our third point. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10 says, for the love of money, did you think money was evil? Money's not evil. For the love of money is a root, that is a source, motive, cause of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed, deviated. It's a nautical term. It's a navigational term. It means to deviate off the course just a little bit. Boop. They just get a little bit off the course. And over the course of months, years, and a lifetime, you're way off target by the time you get there. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Christian, be careful, because you and I will either govern over our possessions to the glory of God, or those possessions will govern over us to the destruction of who we are. As a Christian, we are to manage what we have within our resource. We are to be faithful stewards, faithful managers, and to see all that God has given us as having come from his good hands. But isn't it interesting that it is the love of money that winds up destroying a person's life? Listen, I don't have anybody's name or face particular in mind, but listen, you can ask staff members of this church. My secretary often gets these emails and calls from people. And I've talked to people as well who will say, things like this. In its origin, it goes like this. Hey, Pastor Jack, next Sunday is our last Sunday. We've got to go. We have to move on. Oh, what's going on? Oh, man, we got a job offer in, I don't know, I'll make it up. Timbuktu. That's in Africa. But anyway, we got a job offer in Timbuktu, and it's almost twice as much as we're making now. And so, wish us Godspeed, you know? And look, I am not at that moment going to get involved in somebody's life, especially when they say, you know, the Lord's led us to this amazing job. The only thing I will do, because you don't, listen, if, when somebody says, God told us to do this, you don't ever counter them because you're going to be in big, big trouble with God. Because they want to hear what they think they've heard from God. I'm not saying they didn't hear from God, but there's some proof. Are you ready? Are you sitting down? Watch this. God never sends his people into a wasteland of spiritual life. He may send you to Vegas. Make sure it's him. But it'd be your next spiritual advancement in your kingdom growth. Are you with me? Why do I say that? Because number one, when somebody says, oh, look, this is great. We're going. Why are you going? Because we've doubled our income by going there. Sounds good. But I ask them maybe this at the most. I'll say, well, have you checked out churches in the area? Oh, no, we sold our home. We bought a home there. We got this amazing offer. We took it up. We took the company up on their offer. And I'm sure we'll find a church. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, dear family of God, if God is calling you somewhere, know this. He's going to point you out before you probably even find a home. God's going to point you out into a spiritual home that you're going to be involved in. And know this, that if you're moving or if you're launching out, God will have you be graduating, not descending. But why does this happen over and over again? Well, people email or call and say, oh man, you know what, we're just dying here spiritually. That's an indicator that they made the wrong decision. And that's a heartbreak. God will always provide. But be careful, when you pursue riches, you can pierce yourself through with many sorrows. So do you have a manageable grip to the glory of God upon your resources? Third is this, giving what's been given. Giving is an act of fellowship. We learn this from the Macedonian churches and as Paul uses them to relate to the church at Corinth. Look at verse 4. This is the Macedonian churches. Paul says, implored them with much urgency. They begged. The word is they begged Paul. This is cool. They begged Paul relentlessly that we, the apostles, would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. That is the church of Macedonia. The churches wanted to bless the hungry, starving church in Jerusalem. And this is so cool because this is what happens. Hey, Paul, I'm paraphrasing, obviously. Hey, Paul, we're the churches of Macedonia. We've heard what's going on in Jerusalem with the starvation, the famine, and the poverty. So we got together and we decided we want to help. And here's the deal. You know we're poor. We know we're poor. God knows we're poor. And so what we want to do is give you this bag of money so that Titus can take it to the church at Jerusalem. And Paul, you have to do this. There seems to be the feeling that Paul, or they believe this of Paul, that Paul was going to say to them, come on, you guys, just give a tiny bit. You guys are hurting. I get that. Did you guys get that? I told you last time, don't let any ministry ever coerce you into giving. Remember I said before, did I say it at first service? If somebody goes on the TV screen or on the radio and says, you know, to keep this ministry going, you got to send in $100 bill. If you send in that $100 bill, then you're gonna keep God's work on the air. And did I already tell you guys this? Okay, good. Good. If you were not here, get the tape. Don't respond to that kind of plea. Don't do it. And Paul is trying to talk them down from giving so much. And they basically lovingly disobey Paul. They say, hey, listen up. You can't stop us. This is fun. Watch. You're the apostle. You get to preach the gospel all over the world, Paul. We don't get to do that. So you've got to let us be part of the ministry too. This giving of ours, we've put everything into it. The money's not the issue, Paul. We put everything into it because we want to help advance the gospel. We want to help benefit and bless the church. So you've got to let us be involved in this, Paul. We are not going to let you tell us no. Isn't that sweet? What an awesome thing. Why? Because it was all based upon, this is our ability to fellowship. And I told you guys last time that we're going to take a lot of liberties during the course of this little mini-series in these two chapters to bring you up to date to things that you're involved in, things that we do as a church. And I love the fact that most of us have never been to Africa. But in Africa, there's a work going on today, and you're supporting it. Maybe most of us have never been to China, but you are supporting works in China. Are you with me? Maybe you've never been to Mexico, but you're supporting works in Mexico. What's the point? Our giving has become an act of fellowship. We may not make it there, but isn't it amazing that you can put a dollar in an envelope and ship it to some part of the world in the name of God? This is cool. That's not a sacrifice. That's a joy. It's like, oh boy, how do I get involved? And so it's an amazing thing that God would invite you and I to be part with him in acts of grace. G. Campbell Morgan, the great Bible preacher, said, listen, by the giving of this grace of theirs, they entered into the fellowship of Christian service. Because the grace they had come to know caused them to want to give back a grace to those in need. We got saved. We're grateful to God. We want to be involved, so we want to give back a little bit of that grace. That's the Christian life. Proverbs 22, verse 9. Proverbs 22, verse 9 says, he who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. You may have never made it to the streets of Los Angeles or to Watts or downtown Pomona, but you minister there on a regular basis. You partake and you engage in the fellowship of the saints. And so you're sitting here this morning and say, well, I've never been to Watts. I drive around Watts. I understand that. But you've been ministering to Watts, for example, in the inner city of Los Angeles. That's a tremendous thing to think about. In Proverbs 19, verse 17, there the Bible says, if you help the poor, you will lend to the Lord, and he will repay you. Now, you shouldn't give to the poor to lend to the Lord with your motive being he'll repay you. Don't do that. That's not good. You don't say today, well, I'm going to start giving so God will bless me. Don't do that. It's to be a sacrifice. Are you with me now? Yeah? You do it out of the abundance of your grace. Has God saved you? Yeah. Are you going to heaven? Yeah. Do you have an amazing inheritance ahead of you? Yes. Do you trust God to take care of you? Yes. Then God would say, awesome. Then give to those who are hurting. Give to the poor. Have you ever heard this term, social justice? Watch out for that. So don't you believe in it? No, actually, I don't believe in it. It's been brought up because the church has avoided its proper place in the culture. There should be no talk of social justice if the church does her job. I'm embarrassed that the government feeds the homeless. That's a shame on the church. Are you with me? What in the world happened in America before we had this welfare type system? The church was prominent in helping people's needs. Did you know that? We need to get back to that. You know what? California's broke. America's broke. Okay, so what? Every day that California and America gets more broke, it's only better opportunities for the church to step up in the name of Jesus and to serve. You say, watch, who's a jack? Well, if California goes broke, then we're broke because we live in California. No. Apparently all you really need is a couple of Twinkies in a sardine. And if you're going to live to fellowship with Jesus, because where do you fellowship with Jesus? Wherever the needs are at. Well, my Christianity is boring. Well, that's your problem. You're doing it wrong. Go serve and watch what happens. And God is saying, serve those that are hurting. Serve the poor. And oh, by the way, don't be surprised if you bump into Jesus all day long when you're doing that. Why? Because that's where he's at. Well, why are some people poor and why are some people rich? I don't know. I don't know, but I know this. As a church, why are some people rich? Why are some people doing better than others, and why are there poor? Have you? I don't care where you go to church in the world. I don't care if you go to the first Baptist-costal church of Wall Street or Hollywood. There is, God will see to it that if it's a Christian church, God will see to it that there'll be at least one person in that church that's hurting financially. Why? Why does he do that? To test the hearts of those who claim to know Jesus. Now, some of you may be here and say, Pastor, we can't even rub two quarters together. And well, listen, you're here because we're supposed to help you. That's your ministry for us. You might say, well, can't God pick someone else for this ministry sometime? Like Tevye and Fiddler on the Roof. You ever seen that movie? When he says, God, you say that riches is a curse. So I wish you'd smite me with it. Jesus said, the poor you will have with you always. But we're to bless the poor. And the Bible says if you're blessing those that are in need, you're actually lending to the Lord. What a great thing that is. And so our giving speaks volumes of where our hearts really are. And that's an important thing. Jesus said, and we touched on it last time in Matthew 6:19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust nor thieves break in and steal. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I want to read you this great quote. As spiritual beings, we find fulfillment in worship. Did you know that's universal? Even for pagans. Even for people running around the jungles of South America. They have to be involved in worship. Even if it's worship of monkeys. They worship the rainforest canopy. Did you know that? Man will worship something, period. I don't care who you are. You say, well, I'm a highly educated person. I don't worship anything. Apparently, you worship your education. It's whatever you're trusting in. As spiritual beings, we find fulfillment in worship. As worshipers, we make sacrifices at the altars that demand our affection. Ooh. Even the atheist is a man of faith, and he will make sacrifices upon his altar. How much more the man who knows the Lord as his God? That's a great statement. So, is your bank account in heaven, or is it here locally? You see, well, hopefully it's both. Good answer. Because the bank account that's here on earth, as we talked about last time, tools can be working for the glory of the kingdom of God. Money we talked about should be talked about as tools. Somebody wisely said that our giving is a barometer of our values. And that there were three important books that cannot lie. That there's the Bible book, remember? There's the hymn book. And there's the pocketbook. And they all testify to where our treasures really are. Isn't that neat? I think that's pretty cool. So somebody might say, well, okay, Pastor, do I give 10% of my gross or 10% of my take home? Do I give 10% before or after taxes on things? Are you ready for this? The Bible nowhere speaks about giving 10% as our level for giving. You say, wait a minute, the Old Testament does. No, it doesn't. The Old Testament required 32.5% from the temple worshipers in Judaism. 10% of the 32.5%, 10% went to the priesthood. We've got this thing about 10%. Have you ever heard about 10%? Are you still thinking, well, I need to give 10%? You're not to be thinking in this New Testament era of 10%. It's just an old tradition that's carried it over. He said, awesome. I'll start giving 5. That's fine. You can do that. Totally do that. You can give 1. You can give 1%. You can give none. That's between you and God. Are you with me? Somebody visiting saying, honey, I like this church now. Now I like this church. Listen, God's going to take care of his people with or without you. You've misunderstood what giving's all about. It's actually between you and God. Number one, it keeps your heart in the right place, because if you don't give to God, you wind up leaning and trusting upon the stuff you got. You look in the checking account, you go, oh man, I'm doing good. And you don't pray as much. Why? Because you're doing good. I bet you in 2008 when the stock market, well, we know suicides in New York went I was going to say went through the roof. They went through the roof and then over the side and down to the pavement. Suicides. People lost millions and hundreds of millions, and they jumped off of buildings. They killed themselves. Suicide. Investors were shooting themselves. Why? Because their God took off. They reached around. They couldn't find any manifestation of their God. A friend of mine, actually, he was not a friend of mine at the time. I didn't even know he existed at the time. He lost everything in 2008. Everything. In one day, he lost it all. He didn't know Jesus. He put a bullet in his gun, took a drive up to Big Bear, and just before he put the bullet to his head, he had written a letter to his family. He called his brother on the phone. His brother gave him the gospel. He accepted Jesus Christ. He put the gun down and drove down the mountain, went to his wife, broke down bawling, broke down crying, led his whole family to Christ, and now that man serves Jesus today. Why? Change of gods. He changed his God. So 10%, 5%. Listen, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:6, we'll be there in a few months or years. 2 Corinthians 9:6 tells us, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Paul's not condemning or exalting anybody. He's saying if you sow a few seeds in the ground, you're going to harvest just a few plants. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. This is true in everything you and I do. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. You see the word cheerful in 2 Corinthians 9:7? The word is where we get the English, from this Greek word, we get the English word hilarious. I'm dead serious.
Are you kidding me?
No, listen. As you purpose in your heart, give to God. A little bit, middle, or more. It's between you and God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Giving What's Been Given, a study taken from the first 9 verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Of course, we're also examining the many other passages that address this all-important and often misunderstood topic. Giving What's Been Given is actually a multi-part series that addresses the topic and scriptural worldview of money. Giving What's Been Given is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, just so that you know, if you've taken a particular interest in this topic, Pastor Jack's treatment of money, finances, resources, etc., please know that you're not alone. Here at the Ministry of Real Radio with Jack Hibbs, we've received letter after phone call after email about this often sensitive and really quite misunderstood but important issue of money. And as Pastor Jack has already said, all we really want to do is see it all through the lens of God's written word. Well, this mini-series we've been hearing here on Real Radio is also available for you on DVD. It's the 5-disc set called Tools, Giving What's Been Given. Now, a number of friends of the ministry have reported back saying, it's quite the valuable and biblically-based treatment of this topic, and it's ideal for sharing with friends, family, and their local church. And that's why we're making it available just for you. So, our offer, here it is. For your gift of any amount to the broadcast outreach known as Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's 5-DVD series called Tools, Giving What's Been Given. Again, for your gift to Real Radio of any amount, we'll send you Pastor Jack's 5-DVD series called Tools, Giving What's Been Given. It's the video version of what we've been airing here on Real Radio. Now, whether you call, click, or write, be sure to mention it by name, Tools, Giving What's Been Given. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can also call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or for the cost of a stamp, write to us and ask for it by name, Tools, Giving What's Been Given. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact can easily be found at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.